Our gospel reading is found in the gospel according to Mark, the first chapter beginning at verse 29. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in the bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door. And he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, when it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring towns, so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went out throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
So I have a Super Bowl joke for you to tell you this morning. There's a person that came and asked the question, how many times does the Bible say the word eagles and patriot? Eagles 33, Patriots 0. When I think about eagles, it makes me think about my bucket list, or one of the things on my bucket list. And that is to go to the Grand Canyon. I don't know how many of you have ever been there. Well, I haven't. I've flown over the Grand Canyon, but I don't think it's quite the same. But I don't want to just trek through it or take a raft and ride down the river through the canyon, or even, as one of my friends said, go on a donkey ride through it because that's the only way to see it. Instead, I'd rather go to the canyon and sit in the dirt at the edge of the right at the edge of the canyon, right where it begins or ends, who knows, and then just be still and breathe and behold the wonders of God's hand. That's all I want to do. Just go out to the canyon to sit in the dirt, to be still, to breathe, and to take it all. I might even sing a hymn. I mean, I don't think you can go to the Grand Canyon and not sing "How Great Thou Art," can you? It makes me think of that verse, the second verse in particular, that says, "When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountain grandeur and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art." Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Seems to me all of creation sings the praises of God. The Grand Canyon, in particular, at least for me, does. Even from a picture book, it's singing off of the pages. I can only imagine how wonderful it must be in person. We experience the presence of God all over creation. It's as though God has left a mark that just speaks to our souls in profound ways and lets us know that not only is God real, but God is here with us. These experiences are so important because there are these times, like I told the children, when we feel as though we are alone. Maybe we're filled with doubts and questions, wondering from where will our help come, or who is the person that has our back, or who really loves us anyway? Have you ever felt invisible? I think that's the worst. To feel as though you are invisible to everyone around, but also to feel as though you are invisible to God. When that happens, it's so easy to give up and to let go, or to put our trust in things that are fleeting, or in people that come and go, or in all the wrong places. That's who the prophet Isaiah is speaking to in our passage this morning. People who are on the verge of giving up and letting go. And the prophet says to them, "Do you not know who God is?" It reminded me of Beyoncé's song, "You Must Not Know About Me." Do you not know who God is? God is creator of the world. To God, we are as small as grasshoppers. The mighty and the powerful have nothing in comparison to God. When I talk to the young people, there's a little group of young people who I speak to quite often, and their biggest thing is who is more strong, more powerful than who, you know, and they'll go through all the superheroes and say which one is better than the other one. It doesn't matter which superhero we bring up. God is still more powerful than all. There is none who comes in comparison. Just look at the Grand Canyon or any of the natural wonders of our world. Do you see the heavens and the vastness of the stars? God takes care of all of them. And in light of that, who then is God's equal? That's Isaiah's rhetorical question to everyone. Who then is equal to God in light of who God is? And of course, we know the correct answer is no one. Therefore, we are encouraged not to give up, but to hold on. And if need be, to wait on the Lord. For God, who does not get tired, is able to strengthen the powerless and give power to the weary. Knowing that God has not forsaken us during the tough times, but is present and able to see us through, gives us the ability to hold on and to not give up. But sometimes the wait is not only for a few minutes or a few hours or a few days or even months. Sometimes the wait is years, can be generations. In those moments, how do we continue to hold on? It was to such a people as this that Jesus Christ came preaching about the kingdom of God. For generations, they had been waiting for a savior, waiting for their world to change, waiting for hope to be rekindled, waiting for their dreams of salvation to be fulfilled. To these waiting people, Jesus came teaching that the kingdom of God is here. It's here in our hearts. It's here among us. It's here when we, the people of God, love kindness and do justice and walk humbly with God. And then he gave them experiences of how true that really was. He healed those among them that had been waiting. Simon's mother-in-law lay waiting on her bed, waiting to be made well. He reached over, touched her, and told her to rise up. And then he gave that same experience to the masses that were brought out by the city, so that they too might rise up, be filled with hope and healing. They had waited. If you remember in the story, it says even that they waited until the sun went down. Can you imagine? The entire city had been awakened and inspired to believe that God was indeed with them through the power and the presence of Jesus. In Christ, my brothers and sisters, we find the ability to hold on because we have a Savior who strengthens us when we feel powerless and provides and gives power to us when we are weary. We have a Savior who understands how hard it is to wait and provides for us a spiritual meal that sustains us for the long haul. We have a Savior who invites us to partake of his body and blood, remembering his great sacrifice for us, done purely out of love. And so, my brothers and sisters, whenever you feel like letting go, if ever you feel like it's too long to wait, I encourage you to hold on. Hold on, because we know that those that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. Indeed, they will walk and not faint. God is with us, and the Lord will see us through. Amen. Amen. Let us pray together. Most holy and gracious God, we are so very grateful, O Lord, for your faithfulness unto us. We pray that your Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts, that you, O God, will breathe upon us strength and renewal, that you, O Lord, in the weak places within us, will help us to hold on and to trust that you are always with us and that you will make a way when there seems to be none. We thank you, O Lord, for all that you do and all who you are. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.